Welcome back to Frank on Target, your haven from the commercial break jungle. We know those ads can be quite the adventure, but now it's time to return to our own wilderness of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors.
Did this come out at your trial?
Absolutely not. I never even made it to trial. And the reason why I didn't make it to trial is because, you know, I was getting threatened with decades behind prison. And being somebody that's not been to prison, you know, I didn't want to go to prison for decades. And I knew in a trial, first of all, they had 100% conviction rate on the J6ers. Second of all, it wasn't going to be a juror of my peers. It was going to be a juror of their peers. So there was no winning. So I took a plea deal for obstruction of an official court proceeding, which was kind of a joke charge because the way it reads I had to either tamper with evidence or a witness, which clearly I did none of that. You know, and I ended up getting 55 months for it, so which was the most time out of anybody for that charge. And the reason why they gave me so much and they told me they were going to railroad me is because they tried to keep getting me to say that I was tricked and that Trump made me do it and that I knew the election wasn't stolen, but Trump made me. And I basically said, F that. I said, first of all, the election was stolen. I'm not backing off of my morals or what I believe in for you guys. And I mean, I even said it in sentencing. I said it again. I said, I believe it was stolen. I actually even told him in sentencing I'd do it again. You know, so again, they railroaded me.
You know, media only covered that phrase that you said you would do it again without giving the context. And by the way, isn't this what communist regimes and Muslim terrorists or terrorists do? Is they gain physical control of somebody and you know, torture them, harass them, whatever, and get them to hold up a sign admitting guilt or admitting a political message that the prisoner doesn't agree with, but it's a matter of wanting to be free of more torture, or in this case, free of a lifetime of incarceration for something you know you didn't do. So they're pushing you to admit something about our president that isn't true. Those are tactics that terrorists use. Those are tactics that as a country we have always deplored. We need to hold accountable the members of the, you know, the Department of Justice that were pushing you to make those kinds of admissions under such enormous duress. And we need to do more than just fire them. We need to prosecute them.
Oh, I believe that 100%. They should. A lot of them should be in shackles and sent to Gitmo.
It's treason. It's treason to undermine our country. They are attacking.
Well, I'm glad you guys are going this way, because the thing that eats me up no end, and I got to address Josh on this. You said that as a group, you guys, and I'm talking about the Proud Boys, back the blue. All right, which is, it's a great thing. When the blue follows the Constitution. Now, do you have any animosity towards the police and the way they treated you? And knowing, I mean, they are not stupid people. They are not stupid people. I'm sure many of them have a working understanding of our Constitution. And do you have any animosity towards these police officers that violated your constitutional rights intentionally for the sole purpose of maintaining their employment and their pension?
Only Michael Fanone.
And tell us about that.
F that guy. That dude is a freaking actor. Like, him and those four other cops when they got up on the Senate and gave their little crocodile tears. Yeah, F those guys. I mean, this guy wants to cry about how bad J6, you know, he got abused and whatever else happened to him, and how he couldn't continue to work as a Capitol Police officer, and then all of a sudden he ends up being on CNN and, you know, being a contributor on CNN. Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Like, yeah, that dude is a clown. Like, it's the guy. Look, some of these guys, they probably got tricked. At the end of the day, some of these guys were probably told to fall in line. And, you know, knowing the way the FBI came at us, They probably went to these guys and said, look, we got this dirt on you. You're either going to fall in line or guess what? You're going to have a problem. You know? So, like, I don't completely hold it against most of them, but the ones that really took it and ran with it, like that dude, I have a problem with them.
Yeah, yeah. And just to be clear, you don't really... In these positions, you don't have to actually come out and tell people you got dirt on them. But here's a scenario. Report to work, you're on overtime, and here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, it might what do you call it? It might impact your ability for promotion. That's it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And you know, again, I don't against police in general, I absolutely have no animosity towards it. Like, one of the things I remember when I first went to prison is there's what's called a SIS, and he's basically the investigator for the prison. He's over all the gangs and all that stuff. And this guy, you know, when I got there, I mean, he knew who I was, obviously. So he pulls me to a room. He said, look, like, I'm all about what you did, like, whatever. He said, just do me a favor, and please don't try to recruit any Proud Boys. And I turned to him. I said, look, not for nothing, if I were going to try to recruit any Proud Boys in here, it'd be your freaking officers. It wouldn't be these inmates.
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
You know, because, I mean, I think they, I really, I do. I really think that police officers that violate people's constitutional rights should be held accountable for that.
I mean, they shouldn't be police officers, first of all. Well, they should be held accountable for.
They should be held accountable. And I've seen stuff even locally here. It comes down. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You put all these cameras all over the place. How much could that be interpreted as a Fourth Amendment violation? People being secured in their property and their rights. You know.
Right.
You know. I mean. You know. Come on. They got cameras all over the place pulling.
I mean, here's where the biggest double, you know, tier system works in D.C. as far as, like, the police there is, okay, so I got 4.5 years, a little over 4.5 years for walking into a government building. I was at a prison where a lot of the D.C. guys that, you know, commit crimes come to. And there were guys there from D.C. with murder charges that got, like, 8-9 years in prison.
Well,
and you got 55 months.
And I got 55 months. I got half the time of a murderer.
Well, wait a minute. But let's back up to be clear. You walked into the building and lit off a bomb and destroyed government property and made thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage to the building. Is that what happened?
No. That's definitely not what happened.
You threw a sign. What did you do? There was a sign that said...
I think it said keep quiet or something along those lines.
Yeah, so
that's... And what I will say is that was a very bad judgment moment for me, but I just got gassed and for no reason. And you know, I immediately walked out the room, and it was kind of the next thing I did. And again, it wasn't in my character, but it was kind of spur of the moment. And you know what? I do regret that one thing.
But you were provoked. I have to say this.
I mean, yeah, I was absolutely provoked. Yeah. But I still look back on it, and I'm like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, but, you know, in the moment, yeah, I was provoked, and it kind of happened.
How did they find you? Were you detained shortly after the rally was over? How did they track you down?
So, yeah, I was actually grabbed up for curfew because they put a curfew out over the city. Now, again, I had a place 2.5-3 miles away from there where I lived, but we were also staying with a few of the Proud Boys at the Hamilton, and I ended up getting grabbed outside the Hamilton, tackled by quite a few cops. And, yeah, they took me for a curfew. When I get down to the police station, I'm walking through, like, the line thinking I'm getting this curfew ticket, even though I knew there was more to it than that. I knew it was kind of coming, but I didn't. And two officers, well, I don't know what they were. They were probably agents. They were not in uniforms. They were in suits. They pull me into a room, and they turn a laptop around, and they show me a video of me in the Capitol. Now, go figure, I still have the same outfit on, because, again, I didn't really think I did anything wrong that day. I didn't go and change clothes. I didn't wear a mask. I didn't do any of that. You know, so, and again, I'm a 245-pound guy at that point. Like, I'm a pretty big dude. Like, they show me this picture of me, and I'm in this cut-off Punisher shirt. I mean, I can't really say, yeah, that's not me. So, yeah, at that point, they pretty much had me.
And what did they say they would charge you? So, were you detained from that moment until you were pardoned by Donald Trump?
No, I wasn't. So, I actually, and well, this is something that we just found out more recently. I was let go the next day and not charged with anything, apparently, other than the curfew. And then 2 days later, I was indicted by the feds. And I ended up staying out of lockup for about 10, 11 months until they violated me. Now, during this time of me being out, so I did a little bit over 3 years in prison. During this time out, though, I was very vocal. I went on CNN twice. I did a documentary with HBO, ITV News out of London. I did a documentary with them. Like, I was very vocal, and I was very vocal about the fact that I knew the election was stolen. And eventually, my judge shut it down and was like, yeah, you got to go. You got to turn yourself in.
So you were indicted. You were indicted, then you went vocal. Or did you go vocal, then indicted?
I went vocal right away. I mean, again, I got indicted only 2 days later. I mean, pretty much the second that I was out, I was already, like, on social media, you know, running my mouth a little bit. Because, I mean, again, I didn't think I did anything wrong. And, I mean, I was mad about the curfew at that point. You know, so I was kind of voicing that. And then the indictment came. And then that's when it went 100 miles an hour for, like, the media and all that. They just started reaching out to me. And I accepted everybody because my thought process was, is look, I mean, obviously CNN is super left-wing, and they were going to take my words and manipulate them and all that. But my thought process was, it doesn't matter because my story is going to be the same because I'm not going to lie. So I don't really care who I talk to. Because it's irrelevant. It's going to be the same story.
Did they give you a fair shake on CNN?
I mean, so they tried not to. I mean, the interview, both interviews were like maybe an hour and a half apiece, and they used about 7 minutes of it on each end. Wow. Now, I'm on their documentary, too. Like, if you look up the CNN documentary they call it the insurrection or whatever. I'm labeled as the Proud Boy of the insurrection. They only have like 8 people in there, but I'm one of them, and it's long. It's a lot. But I mean, in the scheme of things, like everybody that watched what I said on CNN was like, yeah, I mean, they didn't make you look bad or anything. Because I mean, they did what they were going to try to do. They tried to ask me the same question 19 different ways and try to, you know, get me in a gotcha moment, but they just couldn't.
But the CNN final product was very... Did you think it was an accurate depiction of what happened that day, or did you think it was a manipulated...
It was... I mean, yes, it was manipulated 100%. You know, they definitely... They spun their narrative on it. The very first one, the problem that I have with it... and I don't know if I have any legal action on this, but... You know, they started... They start the video off by showing somebody break a window with a police shield, which is clearly not me. And then they just say, and then Josh Pruitt comes 30 seconds behind. You know, it's just like they definitely try to maneuver it and make the situation and make me look worse than what it was. Mm-hmm. But.
I Googled you after... after we agreed to do the first interview with you, but before we'd actually done it. And okay. Overwhelmingly, they talked about how you are guilty, but mostly you're guilty because you weren't repentant. And that is so galling. That should be a rallying cry for every American citizen to say that you asserting, you know, that you did not do this thing, or asserting that you believe the election in 2020 was stolen. By the way, I do too. that is reason that you are guilty of these trumped up charges they have against you. And the rationale there is so faulty, it's identical to what terrorists do. It's the fact that you won't admit that you do what we said you did is the reason you're guilty. Why did any Americans ever allow it? Why do these fake journalists allow it? Why did they go along with it? You know, people easily, it's clear, they will do anything for a buck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting is what it is. You know, everybody should have been able to look at that and be like, this is wrong. But for some reason, a lot of people didn't.
We weren't allowed to talk about it. We were censored from talking about it. And I think that a lot of people were afraid that when the prosecution is so irrational and so corrupt, you're terrified that they're going to come at you.
Yeah.
You're terrified that they're going to twist something you did into something illegal when it isn't. I know many people in this community that were at that rally at J6, and they suddenly went quiet, and we couldn't even talk to each other. There was no, you know, X wasn't what it is now, and Facebook or YouTube or any kind of media, Rumble not so bad, but we couldn't talk to each other about what in the world was going on, and people were afraid. And then Democrats, especially in my community, used this opportunity to score points politically, and they tried to dox and out members of this community that are not insurrectionists. You may not agree with them politically, but they love our country. And so we had Democrats going along with it because I don't think they believed it at all, but they said we can score political points this way by pushing this narrative. And that took hold. It's like Nancy Pelosi doused that narrative with gasoline and set it ablaze, and our gullible public believed it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's crazy. You know, over 1,500 of us got charged. But, like, around the end of, you know, when we ended up getting pardoned and everything, they were saying that the end number was going to be, like, 2,500 people before the statute of limitation came up. And it's just like they were almost at that point. It's just like if you were a Trump supporter in D.C. that day, you were probably going to get indicted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wrong, by the way. Just totally wrong. Jim, you've been kind of quiet?
No, I've been enjoying listening to this whole thing. Just one thing I want to add about CNN. You know, I watched the interview that Josh did with CNN. And the interviewer was, you know, you walk by guards. You pushed your way through guards. And Josh is like, well, you didn't watch the video. And the guy's like, I watched all the videos. But you can clearly see it. I have it in the book, Trumped Up, which is due out on Amazon this weekend. It's called, is picture of Josh walking through the door, and there's no guard in sight. In fact, I have him circled in yellow. There's no guard in sight. There's a bunch of supporters and demonstrators around him, but there's not a guard in sight. So I have no idea what.
Okay, so you know what that is? They control the ability to edit it. One thing I love about, you know, doing a live stream here on X, nobody's editing this video at all. We're not. It's not scripted. Nobody is. And that's powerful, and we need those kinds of platforms. I'm very critical of CNN, you know, and any legacy media that perpetuated this propaganda. By the way, Jim, before we get too far down the road here, just as an aside, like a commercial break, you got another book coming. You want to do a book about Donald Trump. Is that correct?
I would love to do a book about President Trump. I think, love him or hate him, I think it's one of the greatest comeback stories in American history. I mean, think of what kind of corner they had this guy in. You know, he didn't do any debates in Republican during the Republican primaries, and you know, he went out and just did his thing. And each rally that he went to, he just gained more support, and what he said just makes sense to people. And he comes back and wins the presidency for a second time,
which dovetails with Jim, the forward. Josh, before you got, I don't know if you know, but Jim read the foreword in your book that I believe you wrote that ends with a quote from Thomas Jefferson about the Tree of Liberty needing to be refreshed with the blood of patriots.
Yeah.
And and just a powerful quote, but you're an example of being a patriot, and I think the reason that a lifelong Democrat like myself supported Donald Trump is because we recognize he's a patriot, too. I don't care that he's a flawed man. We're all flawed.
Yeah.
I don't care at all, but his policies, his leadership in times of incredible adversity, his ability to keep going is what we admire about him. It's why we voted for him.
Absolutely. Here's what CNN said, and this is directly from the book, and I'm reading from the book right now. This is about Josh walking through the door and about what legacy media was telling you versus what really happened. And I think, Josh, you can say this for yourself, but this is one of the reasons why he wanted me to write this book, because I'm going to shoot right down the middle. I'm going to tell exactly how it is. I'm not going to go and come up with some narrative. But it says here, it says, looking back on CNN might have been the dumbest decision I ever made, and I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. But at the time, I thought, maybe if I told my side, if I showed that I wasn't this violent insurrectionist that they were trying to make me out to be, it would help me somehow. I was wrong. What it really did was hand the government exactly what they wanted, sound bites and headlines that they could twist, clip, and use to paint me as some dangerous radical. They didn't care about the truth, and neither did CNN. During the interview, and this is an interview you can see on Google, go to CNN and Google it, says, during the interview, I tried to explain what really happened when I walked into the Capitol. I walked through the front door, held wide open by Capitol Police. They didn't stop me. They stood by my side, motioned people in. I'm not saying they were happy about it, but they sure weren't resisting it, and that part never made it to the headlines. Instead, the media pushed their version that I stormed the Capitol alongside some other violent mob, when the truth is I walked through an open door and stood there wondering what the hell I just walked into. The more I talked to the media, the worse my case got, and prosecutors used my own words, some of them taken out of context, some twisted beyond recognition, to frame me as a proud, unrepentant extremist. The CNN piece became part of my prosecution file, like the confession I never gave. They didn't care what I meant. They cared how it sounded on TV. Insurrection disguised as patriotism, they called it. It's a catchy line, but it's not reality. Reality is a confused guy caught up in a moment who made a bad choice, not some mastermind trying to overthrow the government. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know about Josh Pruitt and what really happened inside there, that's it right there.
We'll be right back with more from Frank on Target after these messages.